Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. We are so thankful that you are with us. We hope you're having a wonderful Friday afternoon and hope that your weekend is starting off right with the Lord. And it has been, it's a great blessing to be with you today. And I know there's a lot that's been on the news lately, and we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. I've got a guest in the studio once again. Is again beating down the door. He said, come on, man, let me in. And so I said, yeah, you can come on in, Pastor Al. So Pastor Al, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Brother Lutz.
You love my intro. Well, you know, I give you such great intros.
I just have to let everybody know, I know this is going to ruin the code word, the password, but I knocked at the door and I said, hey, come on, man, I know Corn Pop. And he let me right in. It's he didn't want to mess with Corn Pop because Corn Pop's a bad dude, you know. So
that's great. Well, thanks for being with us again. Well, this is kind of an impromptu. I think I'm glad you reached out and said, hey, can we do another show together? And I think it's great. There's been so much going on, and we want to be a blessing and encouragement to you. We're not looking to come on today and just rail about things. I think at some point we've got to develop a plan moving forward on how we're going to accomplish this. Listen, we've been here before. Granted, it might be a little worse this time, but you know, we still have the same God, and we still win. And so we're going to try to encourage you today. But as was already mentioned, my name is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood. Been there a little over 16 years now. And we would absolutely love for you to come on out and join us for our church services. We meet together on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. We meet together Sunday night at 6 p.m. And then we have a midweek service, on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So we'd love for you to come on out, be with us and worship with us. You can check us out on the web at northcoastbaptist.org, northcoastbaptist.org. Or you can always call us at 216-521-3800. We are located at 2051 Quail Street, which is about a half a mile west of 117th and Madison, if you're familiar with that area. And it's one block south off of Madison. You can only go left. You can only go south on Quail. So, and you can park on the street there or at the school across the street. Harrison Elementary School allows us and other churches to use their parking lot for our services, and we're so grateful for that. I don't know that that will always be that way, but we certainly praise the Lord for it. So again, all the information will be at the end of the broadcast. You can grab it then if you have any questions or anything. But I thought I'd start today. I wanted to read Psalm 37, and there's so much emotion that is going on this week. I know you obviously, unless you have just been totally out of the loop on anything, you know that it's been a very trying week for a lot of people, especially those that are God-fearing, America-loving citizens. It's been difficult to watch what I believe to be a betrayal of at the highest levels of our government. You really try to sort through those emotions. And so the Lord just had me read and think about Psalm 37. So I thought I'd share it with you. And I'm going to bring Pastor Al in here in a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the things as we move forward. So, but Psalm 37 verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You know, envy always has an attitude of hate behind it. So certainly we don't want to lower, descend ourselves to the level of the hate that people have for this country. So we seek a higher level, higher standard we have of our reactions with that. Now that, we'll go on and maybe say some more. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And I love that passage because it really just talks about staying focused on the Lord. Now, unfortunately, for many decades now in the United States of America, the idea to wait upon the Lord has been taught in a way that is not a courageous way, to stand up and stand in your place and to fight against. Now, if we're not called to fight, then why does the Bible say endure hardness as a good soldier? Why does it say, you know, put on the whole armor of God? Of course, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of the world, of the darkness of this world. We're standing against the wiles of the devil because that's what they are. They're the wiles of the devil. And so don't take this passage away to say that we're not supposed to stand, we're supposed to lay down, and we're supposed to just kind of take it. That's not the implication. It's always right to stand for the truth. And so what we have witnessed this week has been very perplexing. And I wanted to bring Pastor Allen on this because I want to kind of get his thoughts on the events as they transpired this week and what his kind of thoughts were. And let me just throw this out real quick before I bring Pastor Allen. You know, I was thinking this week, you know, we saw a reprehensible, reprobate man stand in the city, in the Congress, and pray a prayer to the God of all faiths, and to ended it with amen and a woman, which is not, I mean, it's just, to even talk about it and give it some credence, I feel dirty even talking about it. But I thought, what a picture of where our nation is. Because when you look at the religious background of the founders and of the signers, out of 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, over 20 of them had either, they were either pastors or preachers, or they had some type of theology background. And that's who was leading our country. And now we have someone like Raphael Warnock. We should call him the Warlock.
Yes.
Right? Because that's not Christianity, and we're having a Christian identity crisis, and I've said, and I think we've seen it now in our vice president, where, you know, there's just been this blind allegiance sometimes. Well, if somebody's if somebody says they're born again, we just follow them. And I tell you, brother Pastor Al, I want to get your thoughts and reactions to what happened this week. But you know, you and I have talked off air a lot about Mike Pence, and I've always in my stomach I've said, I don't trust the guy. I don't know why. I'm not saying he's not saved. That's not my place to say that. But there was just something that was sticking, and it bore fruit this week, and it hurt. It hurt. And you know, what was your reaction as you were watching? I'm sure you. I think we were on the phone actually, or texting or something. Mm-hmm. We were talking, and we're like, hey, something just went on. So you know, what are your thoughts on kind of what happened and your reactions to that?
Well, thank you, Brother John, and good. Appreciate you allowing me to be on the program, and also just a reminder to those listening, you're going to be on with me at 1:30 in our program as well, and I'd be glad to have you on. We'll continue some of these discussions and thoughts as well at that time,
yeah.
But I believe that there was a lot riding on what happened. I think President Trump, when you listened to his speech in Georgia the night before, yeah, and then his speech there on the Ellipse that morning, he was essentially saying that it was all coming down to what Vice President Pence would do,
yeah,
serving in his role as president of the Senate, opening up the electoral college votes and you know, deciding whether or not to accept them and counting them, yeah, and the different things that was going to happen. And you could see there was a little bit of trepidation because both on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. He said, I think he's going to do the right thing, but if he doesn't, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be real happy.
But let's, and he said, and basically, I think it was like trying to get him to make sure he does the right thing.
Yeah.
And so we had conflicting legal scholars on both sides, some saying, well, his role was largely symbolic, nothing he could do.
Yeah.
And then you had other, I think, equally competent legal scholars saying he absolutely could do something, and they cited precedent.
Yeah.
And so I believe that I fall on the side of he could have done something. Certainly, if nothing else, when he was faced with a slate of electors from a state that came from the governor versus a slate that came from the state legislature, he could have certainly said, you know, the Constitution says the legislature, not the executive, the legislature is responsible for the elections and the laws and things like that. And he could have said, we're taking the electors from the legislature, not the governor. I mean, that's the least of things that he could have done.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is where I think this happens in religions, too, where you go from the spirit of the law back to the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the formality that was going on early on, you just sense this when that one representative stood up and said, I have a parliamentary or, you know, a question. And he says, under Title III, we do not entertain debate. And all he was trying to ask was, how do we bring up a motion if we're in the gallery? And I'm sorry, that's you, right there, you knew. I'm like, oh, that's it. You know,
he said, I'm not debating. I'm just asking a question.
So when you look at, well, what's the spirit of the law? I mean, common sense tells you, if you're presented with two separate slate of electors for one state, that has to be looked into. That has to be investigated. And you know, it even puts more on some of these senators that backed out, and maybe they just threw up their hands and said, what's the point? You know, because we're going to sit down for 2 hours and extend the night out. I don't know. But common sense tells you, you know, wasn't one of the guys in precedent, wasn't Thomas Jefferson himself?
He was president of the Senate because he was vice president.
Exactly, and he did something with, I don't know the full details, but I believe he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hand in the founding of this country.
Yes.
So if anyone you look at say, well, Thomas Jefferson thought it was important enough to do, that it was his obligation or his right to do it. But we sit there and say, we're not here to overturn an election. And I heard somebody say this, I don't remember who it was, but they brought up a great point. You're not overturning an election if the election was fraudulent to begin with.
Exactly.
You're Joe Biden and his group overturned the election because they stole the election.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so you could see this whole formality. What does the gentlewoman from Stand and Rise? Come on, man. I just said it. Come on, man. I must be closer to him.
You're infected.
I'm infected. We're all going to be walking around saying, come on, man. But really, you look at it, and it's just the form. Oh, well, let's just get this is just formal. So they absolutely acted as if it was ceremonial. And now the guys who didn't, look at the vitriol. Oh, we need to expel those senators if they don't resign, and we need to impeach the president. Oh, the 25th Amendment and needs to be invoked, and so the revenge, the hate that is going on for the American people. And I think you and I both know this is not about Donald Trump. This is about freedom and liberty. And Pastor Al, you and I and others who stand for God, who stand for the truth, and they're going to take out as many. You know why? Because the devil is the prince of the power of this air. He's the god of this world. One preacher brought out that in the temptation of Christ that we see, temptation of Jesus, when he's on that mountain, he says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus didn't say, well, those are my kingdoms. You know, he quoted scripture, and he acknowledged the fact that Satan is the god of this world, little g god.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that unfortunately we're just now witnessing. But when you think about, okay, we're gone full circle. We go from these God-loving, praying, and the first picture of them at the Continental Congress, or when they were forming the Constitution, Benjamin, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, guys, we better implore God. Mm-hmm. Let's get on our knees. And there's that famous picture of them scattered all over. And they're all praying, and one of the men is leading them in prayer. I don't know if it was a chaplain or something, leading in prayer. And then, in fact, I put two pictures next to each other on our Facebook page, that one, and then the one underneath it of this guy praying in the name of amen, and or saying amen and a woman. There's no clearer picture than what's wrong with America than that right there.
That brings up a really good point, because my wife and I had this discussion. And the idea that here was this blasphemous prayer, that this guy is supposed to be a minister.
Yeah.
Paul warned us of ministers. He called them wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Ministers that would preach false heresy.
Yeah.
And so this guy makes this blasphemous prayer. He invoked Brahman and all these pagan god concepts and everything, and tried to equate that with the God of the Bible. God of the Bible is a holy God,
yeah.
And he's a jealous God, and he's not going to let himself be combined with Brahman and these pagan concepts.
Right.
And I'm not going to condone what happened on Wednesday, but isn't it ironic that the only time apparently that the Capitol has been breached like that since 1812, the War of 1812, when the British came in.
Yeah.
There's been other instances, obviously,
right.
But in terms of large-scale breach like that, was just a few days after one of the most blasphemous prayers yeah. ever uttered in our Capitol was made
yeah.
by that wolf in sheep's clothing on yeah. this past Sunday. Coincidence?
No coincidences with God. Absolutely
God
not.
God is not mocked.
That's right. And, you know, his wrath, we studied Josiah here recently at our church in our men's group. And Josiah, it basically says, you know, he stood in his place. And after they found the book of the law, he stood in his place. It caused the people to stand in their place. It caused the priests to stand back in the temple. And what they did was, one of the things he said was, and why he repented, he says, the judgment of God has fallen upon the land. And lest we know, we don't know if God's going to destroy us or not, but we better implore him. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We better implore him for his mercy. And it started with him, and he did it first. And people followed him because of all the other reformations and things that he did in the land. But again, there are no coincidences. No coincidences with that whatsoever. We've spoken before. We deserve God's judgment. If mm-hmm. you sit there and you elevate yourself and say, well, no, those Dems, they deserve this. No, we deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of this nation. Now, you ought not to be part of the evil that's going on. But the fact of the matter is there's... God doesn't just necessarily judge one person. You know, it was Korah and Dotham and Abiram, I think, that stood up against the Lord. He opens the earth up, swallows him, all their families, and then some 32,000 more people get killed after that because they still, even after the earth opens up, they still identify with the wrong person and the wrong God. And so, you know, there's this idea, Pastor Al, that God is just this, you know, he's just a grandpa sitting in, you know, come sit on my lap. And Christianity, evangelicalism
yes.
has done such great damage because they only preach one side of the cross. They only want people to look at the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. So if the only doctrine you think you're preaching, which I would contend is not even the love of God, but all your focus is on the love of God, you'll never get saved because you'll never see the bloody side of the cross. You'll only say, oh, look how much God loves me. Look what he did for me. No, that was you. You're supposed to be on there. And unless true biblical repentance takes place, and at this point we have to assume we've lost the battle at this point as far as the in the short term. Our guy did not get reelected. Maybe he did, but it got stolen. He's not going to serve, at least unless something happens. You know, again,
we're not at the 20th yet.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to sound fatalistic in that way, but in the mindset, we have to make plans going that way and say, okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, in all reality, we shouldn't have to change anything because we should be doing the right thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so... And it should drive us even further to get teaching a little bit more on all of the doctrines of the Bible, not just making people feel warm and fuzzy. In fact, you brought up a psalm, and maybe we can just touch on it, but we'll go into it in your half hour as well, in Psalm 144. You know, either the references even about teaching our hands to war. I thought about this yesterday. You know, there's this idea like, well, you know, let's just have peace. You know, the only way that the Prince of Peace comes, when Jesus comes, if you read Revelation 19, there's a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth and devours the enemy. Yeah. Boy, that sounds really peaceful, doesn't it?
And before he comes, at the beginning of the tribulation, the opening of the first seal of the seven sealed book, the first one that comes, is not Jesus on the white horse bringing peace. It's the Antichrist.
That's right.
The false Christ. He's on the white horse conquering, and in addition, he's got a bow with no arrows, suggesting that there's the implied threat, but the battle's over. I'm bringing peace.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, the Bible talks about people crying peace and safety.
Yeah.
And so we kind of wonder, the guy that says no war and peace, well, I just remember when I was in the Air Force, every major peace movement in the free world was infiltrated and directly or indirectly controlled by the Soviet KGB.
Really?
That's
so we can assume that
opinion.
As well here.
let me postscript that. This is my opinion. This in no way reflects.
Oh, we need another disclaimer on this show. Oh, we got another one for Pastor Al. Anything Pastor Al's on, take with a grain of salt. No. That's understood. And you know, at this point, we know, and we talked about this too, the foreign interference.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? I printed out the affidavit that I forget what his name is, former head, Arturo Di Elia, what he swore. But isn't it amazing that they believe the switching of votes actually took place in a little city in Italy called Rome?
Rome. I've heard of that somewhere. Rome famous for?
Man, I don't. There's something. Somewhere.
There's a globalist group's headquartered in Rome, isn't there?
I think there is.
What?
I think our vice president actually is
been there
part
recently?
Of it. He's part of it. And I think 7 of our 9 Supreme Court justices are either of it or trained by it.
Hmm.
I mean, our own governor is a part of it from this little place called Rome.
I think they have branches all over the world, I hear.
I hear they commit fornication with the kings of the earth.
And they may have. That's in the Bible, isn't it? It's in the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah, she has a different name. I think it's the Great Whore of Babylon.
Yeah, I think so. I've heard that in Revelation somewhere.
We have another connecting dot to biblical prophecy. I mean, this is exciting. And, you know, for some, it's terrifying. And listen, if it's terrifying for you, you need to understand something. You don't know the Bible. Jesus said he came to bring a sword. He came to divide fathers against their son, daughters against their mothers, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and so on and so forth. And it was about the ideology, about the truth. And the truth is divisive. Truth. Look at what happened this week. There's a real suspect about truth and lies. And it ended and culminated in a breaching of our seat of government in Washington, D.C. And I don't think we're done. I don't think this is going to be the end of it.
No.
Especially as all some of the facts come out about some of this stuff. But listen, Jesus came to taste death for every man. Now, what's amazing, think of how courageous Jesus was. He knew when he left heaven what was being asked of him. He knew what he was going to have to go through, and he still went and did it. That's courage. That's courage, and we need to be courageous in these times. But listen to me, if you're not even saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, Jesus tasted death for you, and he will deliver you from the fear of death that you're subject to right now. But you got to call upon him in sincere repentance and faith. I thank you so much for listening. We're going to take a break here just for a few moments. We're going to come back on Pastor Al's show. Pastor Al, thanks for being with us today. And I'll see you, I guess, on the other side here.
thank you, and I appreciate it. And I was going to remind people, the day Jesus died on the cross, the disciples thought it was over.
Yeah.
But 3 days later.
There's joy in the morning. See you in a few moments.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.